Hey, Dad, how does God love us? Well, that's a pretty good question for a 9-year-old to ask. And Dad had to think for a while. And then he said to Michael, you know that little dog that lives next to us next door? Do you remember what your friends did to him when they first got him? They seemed to think he was a football, so they gave him a little kick around the place. And they got a few sticks out and they beat him. And did you notice what the little dog did? Despite all that treatment, the little dog still went up to the two boys and wagged its tail. And they tell me that's a good sign that the dog still loves you. Then Michael said, ah, yes, I remember. And we remember the night when their house got on fire and it was a little dog who woke and yapped and yapped and yapped till everybody woke up and got out of that house safely and the fire brigade came and they put the fire out. And Dad said, Michael, do you remember what the little dog still did? When he saw the little boys were safe, he went up to them and his tail wagged again. And as they lay on the ground in the dark, the little dog did something that you really shouldn't let little dogs do, but this dog did. It licked their faces. Dad said, that's the sort of love that God's love is. It's unconditional. No matter what we might think about God, no matter what we may say about God, no matter what we may do about God, God still loves each one of us. That is God's indescribable love. And God's love is unconditional because this is who and what God is. This book, the Bible says in 1 John, God is love. And God's love is really a special love. If we were Greek scholars, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but they tell me the word for, the English word for God's love is a little word called agape. Can you see it up there? A-G-A-P-E. God's love is special. And I want you to read that definition. It's amazing. It describes a love that is unconditional, that is always giving. It denotes total commitment to always seek the best for the recipient, no matter how they may respond. This love is totally selfless and does not change whether the love given is returned or not. This describes God's love for each one of us here present today. No matter who you are, God loves you. No matter what you have done or are doing, God loves you. And an interesting thing is this. Did you know you cannot make God love you better? And you can't make God love you any less. It's consistent and it's always the same. Well, this is a shortened service, so there's an awful lot that I ought to say about God's love. But let's just for a few minutes think about it. First of all, the extent of God's love. I'm going to think about three verses in the Bible. The first verse is probably the most known verse in all Scripture, John chapter 3, verse 16. I want us to read it together. It's from the New Living Translation. Last week I gave New Plymouth a test and said, I bet you people at New Plymouth Bible Chapel can't read like the people at church on Bogle altogether. They were pretty good. They tried real hard, so don't let me down, will you? Right. Away we go. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Now, just a few quick things about this famous verse. You know, love is always shown by action. It's not a lot of words. Real love isn't. And what did God do to show his love? He gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, for the world. And when we read the word world there, it means the people in the world. He so loved the world. That's everybody. And the strength of everybody is so great in this verse, because you know, there's a whosoever there, isn't there? Yes, that whosoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. And that means irrespective of our race, our status in society, our age, everybody can be a recipient of God's love. Praise his wonderful name. And you know, the recipients of God's love in its truest sense are those who believe in him. They are the ones who will never perish. They are the ones who are the recipients of everlasting life. So here's the extent of God's love. It knows no limits. It knows no bounds. It is for everybody and anybody. Now here's my second verse showing the extent of God's love, Romans 5, verses 7 and 8. We're going to read this verse together too, shall we? Away we go. Now no one, come on, help me. Now no one, oh, no, I'd better have a look up there, hadn't I? Sorry. Please forgive me. I've only got half the verse in my notes. Come on. Most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though some might be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for while we were still sinners. What do you think about that verse? It is true, isn't it? Few of us would lay down our life for even a good person. You think about it for a moment, you might say you would, but if the test really came, would you? Thank God this morning for soldiers who have been willing to lay down their life so that we might have freedom. But in general terms, it's true, is it not, what the Scripture says? We'd find it pretty difficult to love somebody, even a really good person, so much that we lay down our life for them. And the Bible says, but there may be some exceptions. For a really good person, like my wife, Grace Prunt, they might lay down their life. But what about God's love? God showed his great love for us by by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Now, you know, if I'd been God, I think I probably would have thought something like this. Well, I'll send my son, and I've got two sons, I'll send one of them for these people when I feel there's enough around who will believe in me. I wouldn't send my son to die for a pack of enemies, would you? Well, that's what we were, every one of us. And while we were still in that state, God sent his son to be the sacrifice that could take away our sins. That's the extent of God's love. But here's the next verse, and I love this one. I've probably told you about it so many times since I've been at this church, but I'm going to tell you again this morning. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And we're going to read it together. It's actually only a part of a verse, but it shows the extent of God's love. Come on. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Can you say it together without even looking at it? Come on. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Now, the force of that verse would go something like this. If I were the only sinner in all the world, at all time, God would still have loved me. And he still would have given his life, still given his son to give his life at Calvary. Do you get it? The extent of God's love? If I were the only one. Dear friends, this morning, God's love is indescribable. You just get lost for words. Perhaps you'd like to come up here and try and describe it. But you can see I'm really struggling to describe just how great God's love is for each one of us. Sometimes when Tysa plays during communion, she plays an old hymn about the love of God. And the third verse goes something like this. Now, I hope I don't get a blank and can't remember what it is, but it says this. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies, no, what does it say? And were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, you know what a quill is, a pen, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain that ocean dry. And could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky? I reckon that bit of poetry really some way describe something of the extent of the love of God. Would the clock stop? That's good. Now, very quickly, some examples of God's love. And 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, another verse, gives us an example of just how great God's love is. So let's read that one together too, shall we? Come on. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to take away our sins. So did you notice that? Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. The greatest example ever of God's love toward us is what happened at the cross of Calvary. That's real love. Giving his one and only Son for a person who is a sinner so that their sins could be taken away. There's no love greater than that. But you know, one or two people over the years have said to me, I don't think God loves me anymore. I've messed my life up. I've done this and I've done that, and I cannot see that God would ever love me again. You know, when you start to feel like that, or you come across somebody who says something like that, and maybe there's somebody here this morning and you're feeling like that. God couldn't love me. You don't know me. My friend, take a look at the cross of Calvary. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Greatest example surely is the cross. Now, I was given Psalm 107 to talk about as well this morning, and it's a very interesting psalm. In fact, it contains four examples of God's love. The first goes something like this. The people of God had got lost on their way home. They had been away over in Babylon, and God was calling them back to Jerusalem. And that journey meant they had to go through desert and so on. Very tough walk. And the psalmist said, some of the people became hungry and thirsty, and they nearly died. And they got so desperate that they cried just three words, Lord, help us. And the psalmist says, and God heard their words. And he led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. And the psalmist then makes this explanation. Praise the Lord for his great love. Maybe today there's some people here today and you feel that you're lost. Or you've really lost your way in life. That's what happened to these people. Cry out to the Lord. Lord, save me. And he will. And you'll be able to praise the Lord for his great love. The second example is one where some of the people got themselves in gloomy and dark places. because they had rebelled against the word of the Lord. And they just cried two words, Lord, help! And the psalmist said, and God heard them. And he broke the chains that bound them. And they became free people. And the psalmist says in verse 15, Psalm 107, praise the Lord for his great love and his wonderful deeds. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you feel like these people felt. That you're bound. That you need to be made free. You can't break away from what's holding you down. Then cry out to the Lord, Lord, help! And from a cry that truly comes from the heart, God will hear. And he can break the chains that bind you. You too will be able to say, praise the Lord for his great love. Some got themselves into suffering and sickness because of their foolish rebellion. The psalmist says they couldn't eat and they were about to die. And they cried out the same prayer, Lord, help! And he saved them from their distress. They were healed. Verse 21 says, and they praised the Lord for his great love and his wonderful deeds. And perhaps this morning, some are suffering. Some are sick, which has happened because of your foolishness. Not all sickness comes from sin or foolishness. But sometimes it can. And if it has this morning, cry out, Lord, help! And like these people, you will be saved. From your distress. Praise the Lord. It's a wonder that God doesn't give up on us, isn't it? But he doesn't. Praise the Lord for his great love. And the fourth example, some got into trouble as they went about earning their living. Yeah, that can happen day to day. Troubles can come. These people must have been, they were people who went down to the sea in ships. Maybe they were merchants. Maybe they were fishermen. And great adverse winds, mighty waves stirred the waters. And what can you do against the mighty sea? Well, the great apostle Peter found, and the disciples once, they found out what you can do. Lord, save us! Psalm 107 says, these sort of people who were going about their daily life and they got into adverse winds, they cried, Lord, save us! And I love how the psalmist puts it. Their troubles, they cried out to God in their troubles and he saved them. God calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbour. Let them praise the Lord, says the psalmist, for his great love. I don't know what 2017 will hold for us. You? It's uncertain. There may be adverse waves and winds, but But all we can cry out to the God who loves us, Lord, save us. And in his time and in his way, he will still restore. We might have to go through it, but he'll get us there to the other side safely. Praise the Lord. Now, what about the effects of God's love? Let's have a look at that. Three E's this morning. The effect of God's love is the last one. 1 John 4. Now, I can't make up my mind whether I said we would read this together. Have we? Yes. 1 John 4, part of it. Let's read these words. Dear friends, let us love one another. And let me read the rest to you. For love comes from God. We love because he first loved us. And he has given us this command, that we must love not only him, but our Christian brothers and sisters. 1 John. If God's love is affecting us, it will affect the way we act toward our brothers and sisters. Look at the next verse, John 13, verse 34. The words of Jesus, a new command, love one another. By this, will all men know that you are my disciples? As I research the effect that God's love should have on my life, God said something like this to me, Richard, you know, you need to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, unconditionally. He seemed to be saying to me, will you love with a love that always gives to them? Will you give to them total commitment? Seek for them their highest good no matter how they respond? Sounds like a marriage ceremony, doesn't it? Love them with a form of love that is totally selfless and doesn't change irrespective of whether they will love you and whether your love is ever returned. And I sat down in my chair in my office and thought, man, I have a long, long way to go to love like the love of God is to me. Because you know, this command to love our brothers and sisters and to love one another, the Greek word is agape. Love them with the love of God. Oh man. But then in my research, it didn't end there. I found another verse, Matthew 5, verse 44. Jesus said, I say to you, love your enemies. What? Does it just mean I just be a bit friendly to them? No, it doesn't. Love them like God loves you. Pray for them. Where is it? Pray for those that persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. And I say to God, God, that's too hard.
It's not natural to love others like this, let alone my enemies. Now and again I come across people that I'd like to get them by the scruff of the neck and really give them a shake. Maybe you don't get like that. Love your enemies. But you know, God answers and he says, I know it doesn't come naturally. It only comes from the source of agape or of my love. And I found a verse that says, for this I have made provision, so that it is possible for you to love others as I have loved you. Let me read to you Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Better find it, get it right. Put the spectacles on, you're listening? What's the secret? Romans 5, verse 5. The latter part of that verse says this. We know how dearly God loves us. And we've been learning about that, eh? We know now, a little bit, how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. You know, this is an interesting thing about being a Christian. You're not left to travel along by yourself and do all these things within your own strength. Did you know that? The moment you become a believer in Jesus Christ, God's Spirit enters your life. And one of the things the Holy Spirit does when he does that, he wants to pour God's love into your hearts. So that you can love other people like God loves them. And when we come to Galatians chapter 5, we find that, well, that doesn't seem to work all the time, but it can work. You know why? Because in our Christian life, there's a huge battle goes on. I find this, and I thought by the time I got to my age it would be all over and I'd be really humming along with God. But the problem is still there. I've got a thing called my natural desires. The flesh. Me. And I just love pleasing me. Just learnt a new word from my grandkids, selfies. You know what? You want to try and get a selfie of yourself, Granddad? Well, I don't need to take a photo to get a selfie. It's naturally there. And while I am still walking to the day that God calls me home, selfie will always be there. But there's something else. There's life in the Spirit. And you see, the trouble is with me, maybe it's with you, we're not yielding ourselves to the leading of God the Spirit in our lives. But if we do, and when we do, the love of God is being poured into our hearts. And it will just be natural that we become more and more like the Lord Jesus. And we'll love other people. Something like he loved them. So that is the effect that God's love should have on our lives. Finally, the love of God surely demands a response from us. Perhaps this morning somebody here has never realized that God loves you and that He sent Jesus Christ to die for you, for your sin. Would you respond to His love this morning and say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, You will be my Lord and my Savior. You're the one I'm going to trust. I know no other love like Yours, and I know no other way of getting my sins forgiven." You desperately need, if you've never responded to God's love, to do that today. Otherwise, I say honestly and sincerely, you're lost and you need to come to God. Or perhaps there's somebody here this morning and you've become blasé about the love of God and you've ceased to thank Him. Oh, this morning would you ask God for forgiveness? Oh God, I haven't thought about Your love for such a long time and I haven't thanked You. I haven't thanked You. Please forgive me. And from my heart, I thank You. And here's the New Year's resolution. I reckon you could keep it. Every morning when you wake up, just say from your heart, "Oh God, thank You for Your love that You have given to me." You could all do that, couldn't we? I'm sure we could. And perhaps you're a bit like me. Many times you find it hard to show love to others. And we need to surrender afresh our minds and our wills to God. We're going to have about half a minute silence now. Let's all bow in prayer and we give thanks to God. And maybe God is dealing with us this morning. You deal with God as He speaks to you. Let me say to you this morning, if you do have needs, if you need help, please come and see me after the service is over or our pastors, one of our elders or a friend that you know who is here. We'd love to help you. We'd love to pray with you so that the love of God can radiate from your life. Oh Lord, bless Your word to us this morning. Please forgive us for the times when we've forgotten about Your love and gone our own selfish way. Oh, may Your Spirit speak to our minds and our wills and our hearts about just how great is Your love. Forgive me, O Lord, if I haven't explained it very well. But from the scriptures we have read together, may Your Spirit
work in the hearts and lives of all who are here. Thank you, O God, for your indescribable love.